This program, brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com, is suitable for mature audiences only and may contain explicit sexual information.
This is part one of a two-part program.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Taste of Sex, guest speaker interviews on Personal Life Media. I'm your host, Beth Crittenden, here from One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco, California. We're speaking tonight with two naughty boys, JD and Dan, who are rope instructors. They're actually a rope bondage duo who lead workshops and performances. They've written a book called Two Naughty Boys, Showing You the Rope. And they do lots of other things we're going to get into just in a moment here. But before I get to that, I want to let you know about One Taste Urban Retreat Center in case you have not heard about it. We are a community-run organization where we have a practice in common called orgasmic meditation. It's a way that people can feel more, can connect more, can learn lots that there is to know about life and study it deeply and have a lot of fun in the process. So at the retreat center, we have an organic cafe, we have a massage studio, we have yoga every hour on the hour, and it's a great place to be. So come check it out if you're anywhere near San Francisco, or if you'd like to visit here, you're welcome to. Join us today on A Taste of Sex guest speaker interviews as two naughty boys, JD and Dan, dispel myths about sensual rope bondage. They'll let you know which type of rope to use and why, and also learn what you can get out of rope bondage. Why would you tie someone up? Get hints about how to get into the scene, whether you want to keep it behind closed doors or hit the road. And also just learn how to explore your kink side and do it in a safe and connected way. And thanks for joining us today, JD and Dan.
Hi.
Hi there. Hi, I'm Dan.
I'm JD.
And we're the Two Naughty Boys. With a K, not an N.
That's right.
Because we're not naughty. Not in that way, anyway.
Well. So what are you going to be teaching tonight?
Tonight we're teaching sensual rope bondage here at One Taste. And the course itself covers a lot of our more signature ties, ties that you can tie quickly and skillfully and artistically in the privacy of your own home, or publicly for that matter. But the course is about 2 hours, and it's just a way to put a little extra something up your sleeve when it comes to sensuality.
There's a lot of times you'll wind up with a you'll have a lover who wants to be tied up, and if you don't know the skills that you can do or how easy it is to do it, you can be kind of caught up in a bind, or not caught up in bind, as the case may be. So we'll help you through those moments and give you some really basic ties that are safe and very sensual and really add to the experience.
For someone who's never done this before, what's the appeal of either tying someone up or being tied up?
It depends on the person. We always say that there's nothing to live up to. You bring yourself to these workshops, and we just give you the skills to go back home with and sort of utilize at your discretion. For some people, they like slowing down the sensual process, elongating, you know, sort of extending the exchange between themselves and their lovers. Such a bondage situation also turns people on. It gives them like a sense of escape, a sense of fantasy, a sense of release. Some people have said that when they're bound, they don't feel the sense that they have to do something. You know, they can actually submit to the engagement and to the sensual exchange that they're having.
Yeah, bondage is just about the most popular sexual fantasy out there, and that's listed in terms of the kink aspect. But why is that? It's not because people necessarily want to be overpowered
or kidnapped or anything like that. You know?
Yeah, but there are a lot of neat things why someone might want to be tied up, and that includes the ability to totally, because the reciprocity aspect of sex sometimes gets in the way, where people are afraid to enjoy themselves because they know that they're going to have to please their partner,
And we call it Ozies.
Yeah,
you owe each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, Ozies. You know, rather than just saying, you know, calling it a 69 and owe them later, you can, when you tied someone up and when the person is tied up, they are freed from the obligation to have to reciprocate. And that enables them to totally focus, have all that attention and sensuality focused on them and for them to just sit back and enjoy it. And it also, for a lot of people, they get off on the idea that they are freed from any sort of guilt of engaging in a really deep sensual act, because they can say, this choice has been taken away from me, I'm tied up, and so I can totally enjoy it, and they don't have to feel any residual guilt that might have been brought up with.
Yeah, and that's from the perspective of the person being tied. From the perspective of the person tying, there's a lot of ego that gets involved. There's a lot of like trepidation and fear that they're not going to live up to the expectations of the person they're tying, that they might not tie skillfully, or they may look uncool, or they basically just don't know what they're doing. And so our workshop series effectively try to break through those boundaries and give people what we call the rules of cool, because they come to our workshops really to learn how to look cool. They want to know how to tie quickly and skillfully and elegantly and safely.
And without losing wood.
Yeah, exactly. And in a way that makes them feel like secure enough about their rope skills so that they can actually focus on the person they're tying. You know, Dan and I are famous for saying that we're not going to teach you how to tie rope. We're going to teach you how to tie people. And people have feelings and people have sensitivities and people have, you know, discomforts and comfort levels that they want to be, you know, teased and tantalized. And knowing the connection that you have with the person you're with and being present enough to be aware of the person you're with is really what we're all about. We're giving you the rope skills so that you can break into that zone of real connection. So you don't have to worry about how do I tie this and where does this rope go and how do I tie this off. You've already learned that part. Now you can be present.
Yeah. Another nice thing about rope bondage that JD alluded to earlier was that it extended the process. It's a great aspect of foreplay. Just imagine how sensual it is to have yards of rope being drawn across your skin and tied upon you, and having the face-to-face connection or the mouth-to-ear or mouth-to-body connection while you're tying somebody up and being tied up. It really is a great extension of foreplay.
Nice. And you've said that your goal is to demystify bondage and put the fun into it while making it safer and much more aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the safe and the aesthetically pleasing. What does that add to it?
Here we go.
Okay.
As far as the aesthetics are concerned, a lot of rope bondage that's on the web or that you may have seen in videos that people have rented is pretty sloppy. In many cases, it's also very unsafe. Some people will sort of overcompensate for a lack of knowledge by tying tighter. They say, well, I really want to bind this person down, so I'm going to really tie tighter. And that compensation for a lack of knowledge ultimately leads to an unsafe situation where you're cutting off restriction. You may be seriously injuring someone that you truly are connected to sensually or more so love. And so what we want to show is that you can tie skillfully. And you can tie functionally, meaning that it will restrain your partner, and beautifully, in about the same amount of time it would take you to tie something god-awfully. And so you just basically learn a few basic skills that Dan and I teach, and the rest is really up to you. You know, we often say that we want to show you the notes, and you write the symphony. And so we'll show you how to tie safely, we'll tell you how to tie skillfully, and then you take those and mix them up in whatever sort of dynamic you'd like to create a sensual and connected bondage scene.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
And how do you recommend people start the conversation with their partners? Let's say one person's having a fantasy about it. They want to try it. They're not quite sure if their partner's going to be receptive or not. What do they do?
Well, we find that buying the book, Two Naughty Boys Showing the Ropes, and putting it in front of your partner is the best way to get... No, I was just totally kidding.
It's a way, but yeah. It's not necessarily the best way.
No, we're just joking. One of the least threatening ways to talk about this type of fantasy is to simply talk about how, boy, I really, you know, I really like it when I we just mentioned to your partner about how you've had the idea of the fantasy of being tied up, and or do you know any knots, or do you have any rope or anything like that, and see where it goes from there, and just drop hints that way and see the reaction.
The workshops are nice too. We've met a lot of couples who've, you know, started off with dinner and then went to a workshop and then went home and practiced. You know, it's kind of like we're just practicing is one way to go about it. I tend to be more forward myself. I tend to say, hey, you know, here's this and that, and let's go for it. You can initiate everything from fun cuffs. You don't even have to work with rope. You can work with just like leather restraints or fun soft restraints, whatever feels comfortable for you. And bondage is broader than just the engagement with rope. But I think it's sassy and smart just to kind of put it out there. I had a friend, for example, who wanted to be spanked, but didn't want her partner, didn't want to have to ask permission to be spanked. Didn't want to say, I want you to spank me. Will you spank me? And so when her partner was away, I wrote spank me on her ass. And then when the night got to that point, she pulled her panties down and there it was. And so he got the hint and started spanking her. And so, you know, you just got to be playful. And I think sometimes you have to beat people over the head with a little bit of a, you know, a rubber hammer, you know, just be a little obvious. Sometimes the hints is what kills us the most, because we go, God, I left rope out, and God, I bought that book, but he hasn't picked it up, or she hasn't even picked up the rope. And it's like, did you ever just say, hey, babe, tie me up? And no, I never did. Sometimes you just got to be obvious about it, you know.
And it can be playful on the side of the person who has the ropes, if you want to tie somebody up, to just bring out the rope and just kind of do some playful stuff.
And start slow. You don't have to rush to heavy duty stuff. It could be, you know, hands in front of you. It could be handkerchiefs. It could be anything that you feel comfortable with. In fact, sometimes that works better than rope. Tie with something that they're familiar with. Like handkerchief that's been dangling off a bedpost for months on end. And so it's something that you've become acquainted with. And so it doesn't seem as intimidating or foreign to the room. You're just tying with that handkerchief that's been laying there for years. But yeah, taking your time, laughing, keeping a sense of humor. That's huge.
Sounds great.
Thank you. Not getting too serious.
We're gonna take a short break to support our sponsors now in Personal Life Media. For anyone who wants more information about Two Naughty Boys schedule, their workshops, their book, anything else, you can visit naughtyboys.com. That's K-N-O-T-T-Y boys.com. And please do join us after the break, where we'll be getting into more specific stories about rope bondage. Before we wrap up, do you guys want to add anything else?
I think that pretty much covers it as far as me.
I've never been asked that. Like, what else? What else? What haven't we? Wear your seatbelts, people.
That's right. Make sure you. A lot of people. Something that we often aren't asked about in interviews is the choice of our rope.
Oh, that's true.
So, a lot of the bondage that you see out there, particularly Japanese-inspired bondage like shibari and hojujitsu.
Bless you.
I know. Hojujitsu. They use hemp.
A hemp.
Or jute. Which is a type of manila rope. Most people, and it's a brown, scratchy, natural fiber rope, and that's very popular for what that's used for, particularly in the Japanese set. And we kind of break from that, and we use a softer rope because it's we like to use. Okay, 7/16 inch nylon solid braid. Yeah, three
solid braid nylon rope. And the hemp, just to be honest, hemp can be soft. It has to be treated, but it's very expensive. It's a very elusive rope to purchase, and so 100 foot of hemp will cost you many hundreds of dollars. We like to be sort of the middle class people. We know that you've got day jobs and lives and
you're
budgets.
Living in Brisbane, and you have
three
kids.
Exactly. You've got three kids to take care of, damn it.
And the Home Depot is really nearby.
Yeah, so like it's cost effective. You can buy 100 feet of solid braid nylon rope for about $25. You can dye it whatever color you'd like. It's soft against the skin. It holds knots excellently, and it's easy to untie, and it just feels silky, and it supports the weight over a wider area because it's a thicker rope, and we tend to use that. And so you'll see that online and what have you, and we've sort of increased the popularity of solid braid nylon. Not all polymers are evil, says the daytime chemist. And so it is what we use, and it's worked for us, and it's what we teach. So that's one thing that is different from us. We do not teach with hemp. However, I do occasionally tie with it. So Don't think I'm a hypocrite if you see a rig I did and it has hemp rope in it.
Hypocrite. Yeah.
So just a reminder also that if people want to find your schedule, your bios, photos of your work, they can visit www.naughtyboys.com. That's KNOTTYBOYS. And also you can check their work out on YouTube, youtube.com.
And MySpace. /2NaughtyBoys.
Yeah.
Great. And the name of your book again is 2 Naughty Boys Showing You the Rope. And where can people find
showing
it?
Showing You the Ropes with an N.
Plural.
Much more than one rope.
Yeah, you can purchase the book at most of your local bookstores, Barnes & Nobles, carries it. Also, Good Vibes, you know, whatever your local bookstore is, go walk in and ask for it. It'll be there.
Stormy Leather.
Yeah, just lots of places carry it. You can also get it on Amazon.com. You can get it on BarnesandNoble.com, Borders.com, anywhere they sell books.
And you can come to workshop and we can sign it for you.
You can sell one right in front of you.
Great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me here today. And
thank you.
It's been great meeting you.
Thank you, Beth.
Yes, this has been A Taste of Sex, guest speaker interviews on Personal Life Media. I'm your host, Beth Crittenden, here today with 2 Naughty Boys, JD and Dan. This was great fun. Thanks for joining us. If you would like text and transcripts of the show to find out which rope it is to get again, you can visit www.personallifemedia.com. You can also send us an email with any feedback or any other questions to onetaste@personallifemedia.com. To check out One Taste's schedule, including this lecture series or our Connect Ed workshops, visit www.onetastesf.com and tune in and turn on for the next show.
This concludes part one. The interview will be continued in the next episode of this show.
Find more great shows like this on PersonalLifeMedia.com.